gliding high over rooftops in sunshine. Kiam, Plymouth. A young woman with long blonde hair sits in a kitchen.
It was nice to grow up in Kiam. Like, I like the area. I've lived here my whole life. When you walk down the shop and stuff like that, like, you know, you're always going to see people and they're going to, like, talk to you and everyone knows everyone, really. In all life. That was obviously taken that day.
12 August 2021.
I was due to go to my mum's. I spoke to my mum on the phone and said, I'll be out in a minute. And then that's when she realised that there was police and ambulance and stuff like that down the road. She went outside and someone that we know drove past. My mum was like, what's happened? And she said, oh, Jake's got a gun or something. He's been shooting people.
Can you walk away? Don't wait, please, now.
Some breaking news this hour. There have been a number of fatalities in a serious firearms incident in Plymouth in southwest England.
22-year-old Jake Davison killed five people for turning the gun on himself.
It's weird, because I used to go to school with him and stuff, and I knew him really well, he literally lived down the road from me. I kept thinking, like, why would he have done that? What could have triggered it?
The Plymouth shootings. 12 August 2021. 22-year-old Jake Davison shoots and kills five people. Maxine Davison, Lee Martin, Sophie Martin, Stephen Washington, Kate Shepherd. The worst mass shooting on British soil for over 10 years. YouTube, Jake Davison.
It's like in the Terminator, right? These machines are unstoppable killing machines that can't be beaten, can't be outsmarted. But yet, humanity still tries to fight to the end.
2020 to 2021, Jake uploads videos of himself and posts on internet forums.
I like to think sometimes, you know, I'm a Terminator or something, and despite reaching almost total system failure, he keeps trying to accomplish his mission, you know?
This content, along with interviews with those who knew him, provides some understanding of what led to this tragedy. School gates. Emma, Jake's classmate.
I'm not sure if I knew Jake before starting school, because obviously I was only seven, but we came from the same area and obviously we got to know each other in school and stuff. We marked him as a behaviour school, and in order to go to that school you had to have a statement. You've got to have some sort of mental health issue. It was always something that had triggered us. It wasn't like we were bad children from nowhere. It was something that had caused it in life, I would say. My dad passed away, I was six, and so I was worried about anything happening to my mum. So I ended up being naughty at school so I could get sent home. And then because I was being naughty at school, I had to go to behaviour school. I guess, like, we just all used to be out of control, really. Like, it was... We were very naughty children.
I first met Jake. He would have been about the age of 12 in, I believe, year eight. I was his tutor. Jake was at Mount Tamar because he was definitely ASD. Autistic Spectrum Disorder. He was diagnosed fairly early, at about the age of six or seven. Quite quickly, I would have been recognised that his needs couldn't be met in mainstream. And he was there because Mount Tamar is designed to meet the needs of students like Jake. And we were very well trained to deal with that.
It was so small. There was, like, seven people in the class, mostly boys. Like, most of my classes, I always was the only girl in there. And it's never anything nice, like, you don't ever talk about perfume or nails or anything like that, do you? Like, some days people would be on the roof and they would, like, just be throwing stones at people and, like, screaming at the teachers. And Jake, he would just lose his rag really easily. Like, it would be hard for teachers to restrain him. And people tried to, like, not get on the wrong side of him because he was strong and he could fly off the handle if he wanted. And when he did, you don't want to face that.
Did you get a sense of what Jake's home life was like?
I knew, like, when we was in school and stuff, Jake used to go up to Scotland to go and see his dad. His mum, Maxine, and his dad weren't together.
The grey sea under a cloudy sky and gulls flying over a quiet street. A stocky middle-aged man looks through photos. Mark, Jake's father.
I got many of him because he didn't like his photograph taken.
Me and Maxine, his mum, had three children together, and Jake was the youngest. When Jake was a little boy, me and Maxine, we divorced, we separated, it didn't work out. Jake's brother and sister, as soon as they got old enough, they left home. So it's just him and his mum. He was close to his mum, he knew her. He understood her, the way that she would go on. But they used to argue a lot in that house. It was a difficult household that he lived in. It was a very volatile environment.
Jonathan, teacher.
Jake lived at home with his mother in a two-bedroom council house in Keyham, probably one of the most socio-economically deprived areas of what is overall a fairly tough city. But during the time that I knew Jake, he responded extremely well to the specialist care that he was offered. He became very positive. Young man with a lot going for him. You know, he was enthusiastic. He wanted to do stuff. He wanted to learn. But once he left school, he slowly and surely moved out of the care of the state and into adult independence. The more he stepped out of that system, he didn't have the networks and the infrastructure that education obviously has around it, safeguarding people, checking up on his issues with mental health, etc. There's no doubt that the more he was removed from that care, the more vulnerable, really, he became.
Did you stay in contact with Jake after school?
No. I'd see him with his mum a lot in the street, but I would see him on his own quite a lot as well, like coming from work or coming from the gym or going to the gym or whatever. He was, like, known for having a high-vis jacket on with his work boots and shorts. If I seen him and I said all right to him, I would literally only get all right and that would be it. Like, he wouldn't stop and have a conversation with you or anything. I never used to see him with friends. I didn't ever really see him with anyone else. He was more like a gamer, you know, like, he was socially awkward for sure.
Text reads /Jake3572. I have built myself a decent gaming PC. I love gaming and video games technology. Never had many friends and completely isolated myself after school other than work. Never been to parties or out to nightclubs like everyone else. I don't have a GF. I feel like a girl could not like me.
The Prime Minister has announced the most drastic limits to our lives that the UK has ever seen in living memory. The aim, he says, is to save lives in this time of national emergency.
July 2020, 12 months before the shootings. Jake is living at home with Maxine, who has just started a new relationship. A man in a dark coat and baseball cap. Darren, Maxine's boyfriend.
This is the place that me and Maxine first met. Talking, getting to know each other.
We just did it off straight away.
I said, how comes I've never met you? Because I know all your family. And she said, well, I've always been here. Maybe because you haven't been looking, you know what I mean? And I said, what do you mean I haven't been looking? You know what I mean? I said, like, you're an attractive woman. I would have seen you. To come into town every day and she used to speak to the homeless and instead of giving the homeless, like, spare change, she would go into a cafe and buy, like, a cup of coffee and she would, like, buy people food and things like that, even though she didn't have the money to, like, pay for herself. But it was just, like, she had brilliant qualities in a person. Look at that view, look. That's Mount Edgecombe over there, look. Yeah, I used to go there with Jake. He used to walk 100 miles an hour. I didn't really know a lot about Jake, actually. It's like, I knew that he had ADHD and he had different mental health problems. He was such a big lad, it's like coming up to like 6 foot. He was about 20 stone. He literally took over the house. Would come home from work, and the first thing he'd do would jump on a computer. And he sat there for, like, I don't know, 6 hours. It's like, I should get up in the middle of the night if I was staying at Maxine's, go to the toilet, and he'd still be on the computer. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. We thought he was playing games, but he was on, like, other things in his room that we didn't know about. You know what I mean?
Text reads, /rateme. 22M, where do I rate? This video I recorded a month or two ago, just seeing what I look like. Jake grinning. Can't attract a woman at all. Still a male virgin. 22, never had a GF. Kissed a girl. A photo of Jake wearing a black vest. Sometimes in photos I feel I look disgusting though. Can't get a single match on Tinder. Online dating I get absolutely nowhere at all.
I could see that he was like at that age where he was probably sexually frustrated. And I remember he had a conversation with his mum going, you've got a man, you're always in a relationship, how come to, I can't get a girlfriend for myself? I even said to his mum, do you want me to take him down the street and get him, like, shagged with a prostitute? And she's gone, no, you ain't taking my son down the street and getting him, like, that way, intimidated by some woman that don't even know him. I said, yeah, but he must be feeling, like, frustrated because he's not been with a woman.
Did Jake ever have a girlfriend in school?
Not that I know of. I don't think he had a girlfriend. I don't understand why he struggled with that, because I don't think he was an ugly boy.
I had girls into me. Fucking stupid, ridiculous mental barriers. Like, for me, it was... For me, a lot of the reason I didn't was because I was fat as fuck. You know? I sat there and think, how can I be on top of this girl with my fat thighs, my fat stomach, and I'm... Ugh! And now, as an adult, I'm in male environments, and because I'm autistic, or whatever you want to call it, I'm not very social. I'm naturally quite asocial, so I don't have big social circles to where I know I can meet girls and connect up with girls. But anyway, yeah, I sure hope I can make up for them lost years. I don't think you truly can, but maybe I can hopefully come to a point in my life where I'm content.
A square grey building.
See that window there? See the third one up? I've jumped from that window to the floor. Yeah. I was doing a burglary. And the police were at the front door. And the only window was that window to get out. The first time I ever met Maxine, I just got out of jail. You leave jail with like £46 in your pocket, and then you have to fend for yourself, go back to signing on. But I didn't have nowhere to live. So I was on the streets for like 4 months. Maxine said to me, because they're locking everything down again, why don't you move in with me? It's like she did ask me what I was in jail for, and I did tell her what I was in jail for. And she didn't really care. I got a 5.5 year sentence, so I ended up serving like 30 months in prison. Or some of the attempts to danger life. You know what I mean? The time that I lived with her, it's just like the best 6 months of my life. But I was rubbing Jacob the wrong way. I didn't like me at all. Every time I used to show any affection to Maxine, it's like it would cause an argument. It's like I was dating his mum, so he probably seen it as a threat. She was spending like longer with me, and then she was like dropping out Jake. We weren't literally there half the time, me and Maxine. We were like out the front door and doing our own thing. So like time I took Maxine home, it would be like 8, 9 o'clock in the evening. Jake was like, well, where have you been all day? Why, you done my tea? In the end, Maxine used to say to him, well, I have got my own life to live, you know what I mean? I can't live my life around you all the time. You can cook for yourself, so do it for yourself.
/Jake3572. I haven't come across a single mother household that wasn't dysfunctional and or the kids had some kind of dysfunction. I'm saying that as someone who grew up in a council/government housing area with a single mother. I'm sorry, but single mothers cannot properly raise children by themselves. September 2020, 11 months before the shootings. Jake is involved in a serious incident at a local skate park.
I was there that night when that happened. It started off with an argument between the two of them. And the thing with Maxine was she would never back down from an argument. Even though when she had an argument with her own son, she was always right. He took a late-night walk. He was walking down through Central Park, and they've got a skate park off to the left. Some kids shouted out, "Look at you, you fucking weirdo. What are you doing walking by yourself?" or something like that. When he come back that night, the first thing that come out of his mouth to Maxine was, "I've just hurt someone in the park. Someone spoke to me like shit, so I ended up beating up on him." Like, "What are you fucking doing?" She said, "It's all camera, not better." You know what I mean? She says, "You fucking mental."
Carl, crime reporter.
I'm a crime reporter. I've been a reporter for a variety of local newspapers for about 27 years, first in South Essex and now down here in Plymouth. In 2020, I reported on an assault of two kids in Central Park. Turns out it was Jake. Jake has had an argument with his mum, and the tactics he'd been given through school was take yourself away from the scene. And his version of calming down was to go for a walk. And he walks past a skate park, and somebody shouts out, "Oi, look at that fat cunt." And his feeling is, I'm not having that. How dare they?
CCTV shows Jake violently hitting one of the youths repeatedly.
And he batters one of the kids. And he batters a girl who comes to the aid.
Afterwards, Jake slides down a grass bank from the skate park to the footpath he was on before and walks on.
Maxine said to him, "You've done this problem yourself, so you need to ring the police up and report it and tell them who you are." He ran up the stairs. Did you hear the bullets being put in the gun? Maxine went straight up the stairs and went, "What the fuck are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to go out and I'm going to take my gun and I'm going to shoot someone." She went, "No, you fucking not." And said to him, "You can fucking put that back in your cupboard and calm down." When I found out about that gun being in the house, I couldn't even sleep. It was like a 12-gauge pump-action shotgun. And I went, "Well, why would you want a shotgun in the house for?" It's just fucking stupidity, you know what I mean?
Jake, he was obsessed with guns, like fixated on them. When I was 12, I went to America, to Disneyland, Florida. And Jake wanted us to get him a T-shirt with a gun on it, so that's what we got him. An AK-47, that's a gun that Jake used to talk about a lot.
Jake's personality, which is common in many autistic people, is a level of specialist interest which would be surprising outside a small team of experts. With Jake, it was guns.
I remember him asking me for an air rifle when he was 13 or 14 or something. And I said, "Son, I'd get you an air rifle if I lived here and I could monitor you shooting at targets in the garden or going out shooting rats or whatever it may be. But I said, I wouldn't get you a gun without an adult to supervise it."
Maxine, her brother, he took Jake pheasant shooting and they shot his shotguns. Jake got into it in like a mad way and said, "Oh, I want my old shotgun, I want my own license, rah, rah, rah."
Aged 19, Jake applied to Devon and Cornwall Police for a shotgun certificate. The police issued the certificate 6 months later. Jonathan.
He was given a reference by a person from Mount Tamar School. And I believe, genuinely, knowing that person believed that that was a good thing, that it would allow Jake to pursue what had been a childhood interest. And I can see how a person might think, well, actually, maybe that's exactly what he needs.
Should he have been given a gun? I did a lot of research into that. The people who wanted him to achieve what he wanted, which was to have a gun, did it for good reasons. They wanted to help him in as much as help him find the right direction. His uncle, he'd been a gun owner for years and years and years. He saw Jake's interest in it. He knew him as a nice lad. But he was like, I'll take him under my wing. His teacher, She even went to the steps of going round to the house and sitting down with the mum, Maxine, and Jake to go, you know, you've contacted me about me being a referee. Let's talk it through. Why do you want to do it? It wasn't fly-by-night. It wasn't flippant. There was a sense of, if this helps him, and he needs help, maybe this will be the thing that makes him feel confident.
September 2020, 11 months before the shootings. Following the skate park incident, the police release an appeal for information.
Once this picture went out, he was identified and gave himself up. However, we were also in the middle of lockdowns, and it turned out that the CPS had sent basically letters to all police. Can you consider out-of-court settlements? And one of the routes they thought was this thing called Pathfinder, and it's deferred caution, deferred charge scheme, which was run by the force. And the idea is, let's reduce harm and reoffending through mediation, get them to do certain courses. At no point during the offence did any alarm bells go, you do know he's got a gun, don't you? From when the offence happened, the assault in Central Park, through to when the course had run its course, he still had the gun. That whole time. It hadn't been flagged up. Eventually, Pathfinder let Firearms Licensing Unit know. They look at it and go, ooh, and they go and take the gun off him.
December 2020, 8 months before the shootings. Jake is working in Plymouth's dockyard as a trainee rigger.
Jake, he was on good money. He was on like £1,600 a month. But he didn't have no friends at all. He was just a loner within himself. The only thing he used to literally do when I was living there was like 10 o'clock at night, he wanted to start training. It's like he's got neighbours next door to him that way and neighbours next door to him that way, and you're lifting like 320 kg, and like you're smashing it onto a concrete floor, and it's like vibrating the house. Didn't care about anybody else but himself.
Video shows bearded Jake lifting the large weights. I have benched 160 kg for reps, deadlifted 220 kg for reps, been dieting for 6 months, lost 30 kg. My physique and strength should be much, much further ahead. All I have to show for it is a shit mediocre crap physique. Mediocre strength for how long I have worked out. Love handles, a double chin, round fat face. Still fat like I was as a teen. Mark.
I started seeing more of Jake as he got older. But then he just started to withdraw. I'd phone him up and say, Jake, do you fancy doing something today, son? And he'd say, oh, Dad, no, I'm busy now. But 6 months ago, he would have said, yeah, no problem, Dad. And then he just started seeing less and less of him. And I just thought either he got involved with a girlfriend, or he had a group of mates, or he was doing something else with his pals or whatever it may be. If I've been over the house just to be around him. Jake's been on a computer. I've just thought he's looking at something that he's interested in, some sort of to do with space or something to do with the military stuff.
What is an incel?
That was the time that he got more and more into that incel thing, which I didn't know anything about till all of this happened.
Jake was active on incel forums, an online community who blame women and society for their lack of romantic success.
For those who want the long story short, incel by definition means involuntary celibate. Nothing more, nothing less.
It all comes down to genetics. If you're genetically superior, women sense it. And bone development, height. Why do women hate short men? Because they have inferior bone development.
The three-tier scale of Chad, Normie, and Sub-5. So firstly, if you fall into this Chad category, then you pretty much get intimacy on dial-up. If you're wondering where all the Tinder matches are going, this is where they are going.
I am not the type of person who believes women, or anyone for that matter, should be enslaved by any means. I love women. However, this does not mean that I don't believe that they have been given too much freedom and power that is totally unrestricted and that have caused problems for society.
What do you know about incels?
I don't. I actually don't know anything about them. How can you be so, like, roped into that kind of life, though? Like, it's almost not even real life. Do you know what I mean? How can you get so caught up in that? In a fake world, really, isn't it? Surely, if he had just waited out a little bit, like, he would have met someone in his life. It's odd.
/Jake3572. But the thing is, women's pickings and entitlement are leading so many half-decent men to be incels. I'm 22, 6 foot tall, exercise, have a decent job, yet I'm a virgin incel at 22, soon 23. Feel my mother has played a role in being a male virgin. Jake's terraced house.
Every time I used to show any affection to Maxine, it's like it would cause an argument. We was like sat in the kitchen. Maxine would be doing a meal and cooking something, and like it would stop me like going up behind her and kissing her on the side of the neck and things like that. You know what I mean? I couldn't do that in front of Jake. As soon as he seen something like that, he'd be stomping upstairs and it'd be like a 3-year-old having a tantrum. He was like punching doors and he was like punching the wall, punching things all the time. It's just like it's just a manic house. I was most concerned about Maxine getting that.
Darren, now Mark.
If I'd go over Maxine's house when I've been in Plymouth, I'd always go round and do a bit of painting and do a bit of something. We'd become good friends in the latter years of our lives. I knew she had a boyfriend, but it didn't make no difference to me. I was just over there. It was easy to see Jake. But I knew that there was a lot of arguments that went on in the house just by the damage to the doors and things like that. And I'd say, what's happening? And then Jake just, I don't want to talk about it. And it was difficult to try and find out what to say, you know, how to counsel him.
Did you ever sense or see any violence in the household?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Yeah. He, like, gripped her by the throat a couple of times. You know what I mean? It's like we grab her by the wrist sometimes, and the boy's got a big hands on him. He's got hands like shovels. You know what I mean? They're like twice the size of my hands. You know what I mean? And sometimes I would see bruises on Maxine, and I knew she was getting hurt by him. You know what I mean? But she wouldn't say that. She wouldn't say that to me. She went to like mental health, didn't she? And she even rung the police and said, "Oh, is there any chance you can get help for him with the mental health team and things like that?" And like she just kept on ringing them up all the time. And she just couldn't get no response back. But she'd been doing it for years, from an early age, from the age that he left school. She just couldn't seem to get the help.
May 2021, 3 months before the shootings. Maxine contacts mental health services after Jake self-harms and is struggling with his body image. No referral is made. YouTube Jake Davison.
I just don't have any willpower to do anything anymore, you know? I know a lot of people say, oh, that's weak-minded, that's pathetic, but dude, it's like how many years I've been working out, how many years I've been wanting and dealing with all these frustrations. Do I look any better? Or, I mean, I guess if that looks better to you, if that looks better to you, you know? You know, when I was 16, 17, 18, I had that passion, you know? And now I can't. I'm so beaten down and defeated by fucking life. That drive that I once had, that's gone now.
/Jake3572. It really does feel like life has been stacked against me. Grew up in government/council housing with dysfunctional single mother. My father has never been in my life. I have always been a black sheep of the family.
There's things that Jake missed out of that he needed when he was little. He would like to have had his dad around and stuff a little bit, and I would have liked to have been around for him, but I used to love the pub. I was still fishing at the time and stuff, so when I was coming in from sea, I was getting drunk and getting into trouble with the police. And you can only go before the court so many times before they start giving you prison sentences, and I was drinking quite a lot them days. And when I was going to sea, going back to sea, going to prison, coming out of prison and going back to sea, that wasn't good for a marriage. That was why I miss so much of Jake's younger years.
I'd have to go to an access centre and stuff like that to see him. Didn't always get there, so it looked like I didn't care and I wasn't bothered, and I was.
My eyesight is shitty from using the computer too much, as it's my only outlet and enjoyment. My mood has been up and down like a yo-yo. Feels like I've been nothing but waiting for life to start. The worst thing about being a virgin isn't the lack of sex or relationship, it's the inferiority complex. I'm constantly thinking I'm a loser, I'm a failure, and it angers me. June 2021, 2 months before the shootings. Jake completes the Pathfinder scheme connected to the skate park incident. He asks for the return of his pump-action shotgun. Carl.
After a period of time, he appeals and he's interviewed saying, you know, what are you going to do? We've looked at your Pathfinder material. They said you did really well on the course. And a decision is made. Yeah, we think he's learned his lesson. We'll give him the weapon back. And so it's returned. But David Rees, the firearms inquiry officer, who made the decision to take it off him and return it, he never actually got to see the CCTV footage of the assault. Only people who had seen that video are the officers who investigated it. So he's told, probably not unlike I was, oh, this kid's been done for smacking a kid in the face. That's not a smack in the face.
The CCTV footage. July 2021, 4 weeks before the shootings. Jake's shotgun is returned to him. Around the same time, he records a video reinforcing incel theories. YouTube/Jake Davison.
Women are very picky. They do not want, need, or find average men attractive. This is the point. Yes, men are more stimulated by looks. We might look at a girl's ass and go, fuck, I want to stick it in her. Oh, yeah, look at her. You know, women might not look, react like that, but you best believe who they let have sex with them, they're far more selective. And most women, a lot of women are very simple-minded and they ain't all that bright. Name me one example, one time, where a woman has genuinely got with, genuinely loved and desired, like she does Chad, like she falls head over heels with Chad, like she gags on fucking Chad's dick, like she does for a 5'4" fucking balding, fat, ugly man. Never has it happened once. Never.
12 August 2021, the day of the shootings. Gliding high over Jake's cul-de-sac in bright sunshine, Devon and Cornwall police footage from a camera mounted next door shows Jake arriving home wearing his high-vis vest and an orange backpack. 15:22. Jake returns home from work and spends 2 hours online. Online searches for incel serial killer, mass shootings, and reload firearm. 18:05. Jake and his mother, Maxine, get into an argument.
I was literally on the phone at the time, speaking to Maxine. And I could hear him arguing in the background. He was going, fucking shut up, Jake. You know what I mean? And that's all I heard was a shotgun going off.
18:08. Jake shoots and kills his mother, Maxine. He leaves his house and walks onto Biddick Drive. 18:09. Jake shoots and kills Lee Martin and his 3-year-old daughter, Sophie, who are walking up the road. 18:09, Jake shoots and severely injures two of his neighbours, Michelle Parker and her son, Ben Parsonage. He enters the park behind Biddick Drive. PC Printer, Devon and Cornwall Police.
The call came over the radio, 6:10, I think it was. There's been a shooting. The first thing that went through our minds was, oh, it'd be a BB gun or an air pistol, because there was no other information provided at that moment in time to think anything different, because it doesn't happen in Plymouth. We put the emergency lighting on and blue-lighted.
18:11. Jake shoots and kills 59-year-old Stephen Washington and leaves the park. Footage shows Jake walking along a street circled in blue, holding the gun at his side. Emma.
It was so scary. I had my little boy and he was only two. And then I was heavily pregnant. But I needed to be with my mum, like I needed to know that she was okay. Because obviously it's really scary happening right outside her house.
1813. Jake walks down Henderson Place and shoots 66-year-old Kate Shepherd outside a parade of shops. He flees the scene. Footage shows him striding past terraced houses. More footage shows a police car speeding past.
We turn left into Henderson Place, and there was a dozen or so people in the street started waving us down, and I could see a female in the doorway. She was pale in colour. Her eyes were open, but then I could see her stomach injury, and it was a severe stomach injury. I went round the car and straight to the casualty. One of the first things I said was, "You'll be all right. Police are here, and we're going to look after you."
Jake, passing the terraced houses, back the way he came.
And all of a sudden, there were screams and shouts. "He's back, he's back." I saw a figure carrying a shotgun. And as I turned and saw him, my instinct just took over. I shouting at him to stand still so he didn't advance further down Henderson Place. It was important that I became the focus of his attention. I got within about 20 metres of him, placed the barrel under his chin, and he pulled the trigger.
Phone footage with a portion blurred.
I just didn't believe that it even happened. Like, it was just crazy. And then to find out that it was so close to home, being someone that I knew, someone that was right on the doorstep, like, it just was almost unbelievable. How could you do that?
A daughter phoned me and said, "Dad, get over to Mum's house." I says, "Why?" She said, "Dad, just get over here." There was a policeman there, and I said, "I'm Maxine's ex-husband, and I'm Jake's dad. Is there anything I can do?" I thought they'd had a big argument, and I thought, worst-case scenario, I thought Jake had punched his mum. He said there's been a shooting at Biddick Drive. There's fatalities.
Scott, Lee Martin's brother.
I'm on a WhatsApp group, lads being on it, like, just banter, jokes, all that sort of thing. And someone shared something on there of something serious had happened in Plymouth. Then it was getting revealed there'd been a shooting. I then went on Facebook and had a look where it was. And they cordoned the road off the other side of the road to where my brother, Lee, lived. Just messaged him out of precaution, really. I still didn't think it would be him in a million years, because it doesn't happen to you, it happens to other people, doesn't it? Then I got the phone call to tell me it was him. All I remember is I've got to put my shoes on to go around and tell my dad. That whole time from that second when I was in my flat to actually walking into his flat, even when I got him to sit down, I'm still thinking, well, what's the right way to tell him this? And then I just had to say, there was no easy way to tell your dad. Lee and Sophie have been killed.
He rubs his face. Carl's driving in the dark.
I was just working the late shift that night. Could have been anybody else, really. But because I knew the patch and because I had the contacts, I just thought I need to pop out there. I'm the crime reporter with Plymouth Live. We're at Biddick Road in Keyham for tonight. The incident that's happened a few hours ago, it's been described as a critical incident. It wasn't just a shock to the city, but it was like a bomb going off. Especially in Keyham, just really ordinary local town in the middle of Plymouth. And the fact it was somebody who lived in the street, one of their own, the fact that it was so unutterably random,
It's horrible because it just leaves you on the edge of this cliff going, yeah, but why?
Sad time for this part of the world, but our community will show the rest of it how good we are.
Just such sadness. I remember the amount of people crying, watching strangers who didn't know each other, holding each other. The more the details come out, just the more sickening it felt. It just felt like a punch in the gut. Those that were targeted had done nothing wrong. This was just someone who went out and did what he did. People who were walking past. That could have been me. That could have been anyone on this street. It was the randomness, because it wasn't like people were putting themselves in a bad situation. It wasn't like they were in a wrong crowd. It wasn't like they were doing something wrong. This was just pure innocent people. And it was just a horrible thought.
Kev, Keyham resident.
They're the victims, the ones who have lost their family members. Because my son had a shotgun. He shouldn't have been able to get a gun so easily. It's not just a black and white situation. I think there's been a lots of things. But the stuff that's been going on in that house, it's triggered all of this. Jake's mental health and where he was at. Or stuff that he's been involved in with this incel, or an amalgamation of a lot of things.
Obviously, he got too caught up in it, didn't he? That he then ended up losing himself within it. If he had taken a step back a bit and found his feet a little and been able to lead a normal life. But who knows? Like, there's always some what ifs, isn't it?
Unfortunately, it's like his big brother became the internet. And that is not a good big brother or best mate to have. You get that sense he's constantly looking for answers. Why am I like this? Why have I got this and they've got that? If you don't have somebody to give you that guidance and your guidance is that horrible incel rabbit hole, it's almost like being groomed or self-grooming. You're letting that ideology get to you and there's no one around you to go, let's steer you off back to the real world, mate. That's like a recipe for disaster.
There's a multitude of things from start to finish, from top to bottom. The fact he was allowed a gun licence in the first place, the fact the gun was taken off him and given back to him, and the fact that he was clearly ranting on social media all the time, he didn't pick up on that. The fact he was done for assault on a minor. I just hope they take steps to make sure it does not happen to anybody else again, because I wouldn't wish it on anybody. Really wouldn't.
Devon and Cornwall Police Statement. Devon and Cornwall Police has acknowledged that Jake Davison should never have been in possession of a shotgun licence and acknowledged the findings of the jury at inquest. Steps should have been taken to safeguard our communities, and for that failure we are truly sorry. Since August 2021 there has been significant investment and changes to the processes and procedures within Devon and Cornwall Police's Firearms and Explosives Licensing Unit, including an overhaul to the approach to licensing, changes to policy and significant investment in training. National changes to firearms licensing legislation also came into place in autumn 2021, and further amendments were issued in February 2023. This legislation requires stringent checks and ensures anyone holding a shotgun or firearms license must be fit to do so legally and with good reason.